Good afternoon.
Welcome to Why Is This a Thing? Guys, I have options for you right out the bat. Because we are starting a new series today, and I've been workshopping some potential names. And
Oh, no.
And I need your input. Okay?
Okay.
Here are the options. By the way, it's been a while. Nice to see you guys again.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Good to be back on the saddle.
Yeah. Off the wagon, on the wagon, not really sure. Okay, here we go. Ready? Symphonic September.
It's not bad.
Okay. Next one. September of Music.
No.
Yeah, that's pretty
It's a wine tasting. We're going to taste it and be like, no.
I'm okay. Kind of tasting them. Okay. That's kind of what I'm doing here.
All right. September Lovin'.
Okay. I vibe with that one. All right.
It's got a vibe.
September in the Rain.
It's pretty hot right now.
Spicy.
September Over the Rainbow.
No.
Smells like September Spirit.
Stairway to September.
And finally, September, you know, like the Earth, Wind, and Fire song.
How about Wake Me Up When September Ends?
I like that. Oh, wow.
Those are your options. Discuss.
I kind of like September Lovin'.
I do, too.
I'm a little partial towards September, you know, like the Earth, Wind, and Fire song, because it's really, like, verbose, and I get to play a stinger. And I'm a fan of stingers, you know me.
You can play it anyway. Who cares?
Okay.
We make the rules. Yes. Like, things don't need to make sense.
Now, is that song in Greece called Summer Lovin' or Summer Nights?
In Greece?
Summer Nights.
The country or the movie?
I think it's
Summer Nights, right?
Yes, I think it is.
But Summer Lovin' is the lyric that you remember.
That's true.
But I like September Lovin'.
Yeah, I did too.
One more time. Symphonic September, September of Music, September Lovin', September in the Rain, September Over the Rainbow, and September, you know, like the Earth, Wind, and Fire song.
I kind of like September Lovin' for some reason.
September Lovin'.
I kind of want like the word September and then like groovy font.
Yeah.
Lovin'. Some kind of like curling
shit
around it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Do I get to play the stinger every time?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So it is now time for our exploration of movie musicals. It is the month of September, and it's called September Lovin'. Okay.
Wow. It's too short. I hate it when you do that.
That's like, yeah.
Okay.
There you go. I like that.
Sad.
All right. Musicals. We have been talking about this for a while. This has been circling the drain for quite some time. And, you know, we just needed one movie to really light our fuse, kick things off. And I watched it this week and I'm like, all right, well, I guess we're doing musicals now.
Well,
the movie
we were,
is called Annette.
We were talking about doing musicals before you watched Annette, but that kind of sealed it, right?
Yeah. It was the catalyst.
That was already
that
the plan for the month.
Yeah.
It's kind of beautiful that this movie, if it just came out, right?
Like 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
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 Really great timing for us.
Really,
I really want to thank Adam Driver for looking out for us.
I do.
I want to thank the Sparks Brothers for helping us out with this, too.
Speaking of thank yous, did you happen to catch in the closing credits who Adam Driver thanked?
Hodorowski?
Like, no. They let, like, Leos Carax. I don't know how you pronounce the director's last name. He, like, listed a bunch of people, like, producers and consultants or whatever. Adam Driver thanked two people. Chris Rock and Bill Burr.
Wow.
I want to hear the behind the scenes on
those
that.
Those were his two thank yous. Thank you, Chris Rock and Bill Burr.
What, did Bill Burr encourage him to do the movie?
Maybe because they were his inspirations for comedy.
What if the fucking kid was a puppet?
Yeah. I
just like, I don't know. What? How could they have been involved in this in any way?
That's accurate.
I don't know, like, if Adam Driver's comedic stylings, or I should say the comedic stylings of Henry McHenry, are similar to Bill Burr and Chris Rock. I don't see a ton of overlap there.
I don't see any.
Yeah, but he thanked them anyway.
Well, I mean, let's be clear. Henry McHenry is an awful comedian.
God, yes. Are we just getting right into it? Let's fucking go. Were they aware of how terrible of a comedian he was, to branch off of what you just said?
Unclear.
I don't know.
Unclear.
Well, I don't really know.
The smart thing this movie did was make the world so like surreal and musical that it didn't matter if he was a good comedian or not. You buy it anyways.
He's an artistic depiction of a comedian.
Right.
If not like a
literally the crowd starts laughing in song at nothing. Just right. Like
this movie is the most excessive minimalist approach I've ever seen.
Excessive minimalism.
Well, because it is. It's like this thing looks like it was should have been filmed on stage half the time. Even when we get to like the boat scene, where it's just a projector with them rocking a fucking set back and forth and splashing water occasionally.
It is an opera.
Yeah,
this movie is an opera, although it has Sparks Brothers pop music in it. Yeah, it is. It is more indebted to like classical operas than it is like movie musicals.
Yes, exactly.
Never hated a movie more.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm just going to say it. I fucking loathe this thing so much, dude.
I didn't like it, I don't think, but it left me like confused in a way that made me angry.
It's fucking dreck. This thing is nonsense.
Dreck. You really pulled out the thesaurus on this one. I can't even say that word.
It is trash, dude. It's so bad.
I don't know what it is.
No.
I'm just confused.
No. Like, it's the type of movie. It's 2.5 hours long. It felt like 5. It was awful. Like it just constantly like the it's like a waiter coming up to your table being like,
oh,
do you want like some snail? And I'm like, no, turn away. Like he keeps coming back with more bizarre food items. Goat semen? Would you like to drink goat semen? No, sir. Actually, no. I will not have another. Just bring the check. And they never brought the check.
You thought it felt like 5 hours.
It's so bad. I fucking hate it. I really do.
Wow.
And it seems like people like it.
Yeah, they do.
The consensus is pretty positive.
It was intriguing.
Yes, it was.
Fascinating movie. But it was really bad. But really, really bad.
I
haven't hated a movie this much in a very long time.
Okay.
Let me ask you this though: were like the actors bad in your opinion? Because I did not think so. Actually,
no, I didn't think so either.
I thought the movie itself was problematic.
It's
not
a little misjudged.
Like,
yeah,
anybody's particular role in the movie, just the whole movie.
The voice.
The ape of God.
Yeah.
What universe are you living in? Like, have you ever watched a stand-up special in your life? Like, fucking even Andrew Dice Clay wasn't calling himself the ape of God. What are we doing here?
It's not reality.
No, but it is so far removed. What is it if it's not reality? Like, what universe is Leo Krax living in? Is that his? I don't know how to pronounce his name. I don't care to know. I didn't even care to learn. I was so frustrated after this. What universe does Ape of God sound anything but ridiculously stupid?
Well, it does sound ridiculous.
What universe is like, that's kind of a badass name. I might want to buy like an Ape of God record.
But
if a DJ came out tomorrow with the stage name Ape of God, how far in the back of your skull would your eyes roll?
You're forgetting that he's a comedian, so it's okay.
Jesus Christ.
Whoo!
Dane Cook didn't call himself the Ape of God. The Ape of God!
Well, I didn't hate the movie. it's very stupid. It's you know, incredibly pretentious. It's better than Malcolm and Marie, but
it's kind of like artistic in an insulting kind of way.
Well, very insulting.
Yeah, I don't even disagree with that. Like, I was talking about this over text, and it's a movie where I don't know. It's kind of beyond rating for me, guys.
Yeah,
it just
I understand.
Is. I don't know what this is.
It's like The Counselor.
I don't. Yeah. Well, no, but that's an interesting example though, where it's like, yeah, you could say it's beyond rating, but at the end of the day, we just know it's a highly misjudged mess of a fucking movie that gives a unique experience. But like, let's just be honest, Ridley Scott fucked up.
Yeah.
So this, on the other hand, is entirely intentional, and everyone on board believes in every single move they're doing.
Yes. Certainly. Yes.
So it's a whole piece. I don't come down on it that hard. I just admit, yeah, it's not my jam.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Nico, saying it felt like 5 hours. I don't know where Nick's going to land on this. It's one of the most entertaining films I've seen this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here's what I can say about it. It managed to at least escalate properly. You know what I mean?
I see the story.
No, oh, but it's there. But yeah. I also mean that like the movie gets more interesting with time, not less.
Sure. Yeah.
I think it does manage that.
Yes. If you are able to you know, remove yourself from the utter disdain that you feel in your heart, like I was, then yes, maybe you might like that third act. But I mean, I'm just watching.
Well,
this
it's
thing
not to say like it's just
no.
more. It gets more entertaining.
I mean, it was like it was visceral, man. Like it was like just not. But no, there is a universe, and this is the thing about this movie. There is a variant Nico out there in MCU terms that like really digs this thing and like gives it a 5-star review and like is all in. It's just the Nico in this universe. It's just every decision is wrong. That's what happens. Like I always respect something that takes a big swing, but the problem is when you take a big swing, is that every single swing can not make contact with the ball. And that's what happened here. It's just every decision was just so utterly what I didn't want. Just so utterly not me.
Yeah,
I hated it, but yeah, maybe I respected it at the same time.
Can I take a guess for what your least favorite part was?
Go right ahead. There are several candidates.
Yeah,
was it when Annette started floating?
No.
Really?
No, I would say that my least favorite part was when Adam Driver is performing Cunnilingus and continues with the melody of the song.
That wasn't so goddamn funny to me.
I thought that was great. Like that was probably top three favorite parts.
Insanely funny. Yeah, it's actually in like maybe my favorite moment of the
Let
movie.
Let me be clear. Adam Driver.
So funny.
Except for when he's on stage, Adam Driver is the funniest thing in this movie.
This, yeah, okay.
Except for when he's on stage.
Let's talk Driver.
We're talking about disdain for parts of this movie. I don't have a lot of disdain for it. It's not really my thing. I didn't hate it, but I do despise those comedy sequences.
Yes.
Those are atrocious.
Like bad in a way I didn't think this movie was going to be bad. And just I don't know what you're doing. Like, what's your point? Are you trying to make a scene that's funny? Are you trying to make a commentary on comedians and their culture and their relationship to their audience? I don't know. I don't know where we are. What is this? What the hell are you doing? Yes.
It's really hard to make a movie about stand-up comedy.
Impossible.
I mean...
Well,
remember,
it's been done once. It's
funny
been done.
People?
It's been done exact. Yeah, I do remember. I actually don't hate funny people that much.
No, it's not bad.
Yeah,
but
I see what you
that
mean.
That was made by like comedians, and even then, it didn't always work.
The stand up in the actual comedy in it is not. Okay, here's the point. There's one good stand up comedy movie ever made. It's called The King of Comedy. It's directed by Martin Scorsese. That's end of the fucking list. Why does that movie get stand up right where the other ones get it wrong? It's because the movie knows exactly how bad and exactly how competent each stand-up is, right? If you are a Hollywood screenwriter, you do not understand how to write stand-up comedy material. It is a different muscle. It is a stream of conscience Shakespearean monologue. You go on the stage, you look like a fool, you strip naked, and you no, truly, and that's what it is, and you bare your soul in with honesty and shock and provocation. Screenwriting is different. Screenwriting is less honest. Screenwriting is inherently deceptive because you are creating a false reality, right? Yes.
I just love the fact that everything that you described what stand-up comedy is what Adam Driver literally does.
Is yes.
Not what he does actually, but gets on stage, strips naked, provocation. Yes. He literally does that, but not in a way that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a very face value understanding of.
So here's what Paul Zimmerman, the screenwriter behind King of Comedy, and everybody on set understood this. Jerry Lewis understood this. De Niro understood this. Scorsese understood this. He is writing a mediocre comedian, and he knows that there is not just a laugh or not a laugh. There is a spectrum to stand-up comedy. There is a spectrum to one's ability to deliver it, and there is a spectrum to jokes that sometimes get chuckles and sometimes get big laughs and sometimes get uncomfortable laughs and jokes that bomb. It's not just you're bad or you're good. There's a spectrum to it. The key with the De Niro character, with the Rupert Pumpkin character in King of Comedy, is that he's just good enough to convincingly do a set on The Tonight Show, but not good enough to be a superstar like Jerry Lewis. And De Niro understands this because, like, that performance is, it's actually an incredible performance when you look at it. He's pretty good at delivering a joke, but De Niro's not inherently funny. So he doesn't go trying to play a comedian that can kill in a room. He's playing a loser that wants to be a comedian. And we use this term a lot, knows what a comedian is supposed to sound like without actually being able to do it.
He is the Neil Breen of comedians is kind of the idea.
100%. Yeah. So that is a movie that understands the spectrum to stand-up comedy, that not every joke has to be a killer for you to get your point across. This is a movie that, as you said, Nick, takes everything literally, and at no point, first of all, we don't know whether or not this is supposed to be a good comedian or a bad comedian, and we are never shown at any point that he could sell out arenas across the world and be like a superstar.
Well, we are just told that he does.
Yes. We're never just told that he does,
and then all of a sudden we're told that he doesn't anymore.
Right.
But it's not ever expressly shown that he's gotten better or worse or anything's changed.
Don't try it. That is my advice to screenwriters. Like Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, delightful show, good show. Even the stand-up scenes in that show are like, really? Like, this is supposed to be the Joan Rivers of her generation? Mm-hmm. Like, they're good lines. They're screenwriting jokes. They're like witty and clever, and there's like interesting grammatical things in them, but it's not Bill Burr. It's not Chris Rock. Why do you fucking get off, Adam Driver?
It would have been better if they just showed him walking off the stage, like backstage, saying, thank you, good night, and everybody's clapping and laughing. Like, that's it. Okay, and then all of a sudden he does it later and nobody's laughing. And he goes, God, that show bombed. That's it.
But, like, Marion Cotillard lip syncs in the opera sequences in this, right? I don't think she actually does the opera voice. I doubt that she's that talented.
They show way less of the opera than they do the comedy.
But in that sequence, why do they lip sync? Because a opera singer can carry a tune better than Marion Cotillard. Stand-up comedy is the same fucking thing. There's a melody to it. There's a rhythm to it. There's a skill that you develop over the years. There is a right and a wrong way to deliver a joke. Like, there's a right and wrong way to hit a high C or whatever the operatic equivalent is. If you're not going to make Marion Cotillard sing the opera sequences, don't make Adam Driver tell lame-ass jokes.
Right.
You know, it's like there's a disrespect towards the craft of comedy here.
That's very true.
Dismissiveness to the craft that really bothers me. And it's not Adam Driver's fault. It's the screenwriter's fault. And it's the director's fault. This is just ill-conceived from the get-go. Adam Driver always fucking understands the assignment and always goes for it. And I respect the hell out of the man for doing it.
I think he did a tremendous job in this movie. I want to put that out there.
Oh, I think his performance is great.
With what he was able to work with, yes.
Yes. Especially outside of the comedy scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Right. So that's the thing. Ape of God, fuck that shit. The scene where he's bombing, like, where he talks about killing his wife. Jesus Christ. Have you ever been to a comedy club? Like, do you know what a bad act? Have you been to an open mic on a college campus one time? I'll show you what bad stand-up looks like. It doesn't look like that.
Well, I'm going to dissent just a hair. Like, they're not going for that.
I know, and it's frustrating.
They're not going for the reality of the thing.
Reality in this. There's enough of our world in this. Like, that Me Too sequence, the tabloid stuff. Like, there's enough commentary on our current moment where I can't say this is in a completely parallel universe.
Here's what I'll say. Those comedy sequences, I look at it, and I turn my head, and I'm passing by the place, the auditorium. I'm like, oh, there's a comedy act going there. I look at it on its surface. It's clearly a comedy act in the same way that Me Too sequence on its surface is a Me Too sequence. But similarly, I don't think they get to the root of the problem at all. Mm. You know, they certainly don't deal with how often they repeat the same fucking lyric over and over and over again.
Yeah. And we love each other so much.
Oh, this whole movie is very surface level. And that's ultimately the issue, I think, right?
Okay. And this is where I'm trying to separate my, because that's the point. That's very the point with the whole, like it feels like a fucking puppet show. Like, even the people feel like a puppet show. That's the movie.
Yeah, good point.
You know, yes, of course it's surface level. Of course that's the point. You know, they literally put a fucking puppet in the movie and it's the star of the movie.
I know, but I got, you know, when you have the guy singing a song and the first lines are, now I am a conductor.
Yeah, now
and
he's waving his hands.
It's like, okay, I get
this movie. I like Big Bang Theory guy in this movie.
Boy, that scene where Adam Driver throws him. Oh, He was actually like, that was the most disturbing thing in the movie. Just how he throws him around like a fucking rag doll. Like it,
I would not want to be thrown around by Adam Driver.
No, it terrified me. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, you're gonna fucking kill this guy.
As much as we hated the name, he truly is an ape of God. If you've seen the man.
I think they actually crossfade to an image of an ape holding a puppet.
They do.
A puppet baby.
I fucking hated, by the way, the whole like frequency of the light in the opening. Just that stylistic choice was so lame.
The sound waves, yeah.
It just like it serves no purpose other than to be clever, and it doesn't do anything beyond that.
There's a lot of like art house wannabe
shit. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, to say Lynchian, again, a word that we throw around, but there is legitimately, the crossfades in this movie are ripped straight from Blue Velvet. It ripped straight from Lost Highway. Like the shots of the road, like that is, it's just Lynch karaoke, but of course you don't understand mood and tone in the same way that Lynch does. So it falls flat.
It does not work.
There's the same jarring handling of dramatic moves in the way that like it was reminding me of Godard's Contempt at times. And there's a similar element of, okay, we're here now and then we're up here. It's like, whoa, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And you just don't know how to handle the fact that now they have a baby and now all of a sudden he's like hates his life and wants to potentially kill his wife.
Yes.
For no reason. It's just like,
right.
I just don't understand like how you got to that place, and the movie's full of moments like that.
Well, we never get to the love story either. I mean, like there's a scene where they say we love each other so much, but that is the extent of the exposition.
Well, the difference between something like this, I mean,
so fucking much. Hold
oh
on.
Oh my God.
We cannot just jump over that. The only reason we know these characters are in love is because they keep singing, we love each other so much.
We love each other so much.
Okay.
I guess so.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
One of the great sex scenes I've seen this year, by the way. Oh, God, I love the sex
scene.
That
was awesome. Hold on. That was incredible filmmaking.
But that's like the...
I love like the jarring cuts of just between like sex positions and
there's a lot of sex positions.
He's all
there's
holy
like too
shit.
Many. There are
there's
too many.
A lot.
You know what I mean? To the point that it again, like excessive minimalism, Adam.
Yes, yes.
Right.
That's exactly what this is.
It's the entire but that's what I was saying, like with the type of Godard influence has a similar type of feel to it in that way. It doesn't have the same vibe as a Godard film, not as well written as a Godard film.
Right.
And not the same care with its scenes. Like it's just like God damn. No, I think I'm sticking to the whole idea that this is just one big puppet show.
Yeah.
Because really does feel that way.
And okay, so I'll be as generous with my reading of the sex scene as possible, which is to say that these people were not actually in love. It was a performative marriage. And of course, their spawn is literally their puppet. I mean, this is all just sort of like a way of moving up the social hierarchy, because that's generally what celebrity marriages are like. Which, okay, so if you want... the lack of backstory there to sort of, you know, stand in for the big empty hole in the middle of the relationship. Fine. I just can't get over like two characters singing we love each other so much as they're performing oral sex on each other and not just like say this is bad filmmaking.
Well,
I don't see it as anything but bad. I'm sorry.
One of the other major issues here is like if this is the message of the movie, is about like celebrity relationships.
Yeah.
I cannot think of anything less relatable to watch.
Yes, exactly.
You know
that's
what I mean? Like,
too,
who is this for?
Right.
That's a good point too. Yeah. I don't know, but it is funny.
I mean,
unintentionally so, maybe.
No, it's funny. Okay. It's
also again, like Adam Driver was hilarious in this, and like the most unintentional moments. Yeah. I feel like. One of my favorites was when he's holding a net while he's in the crib with her, but he's just so fucking tall. His legs are sticking out of the crib.
Yeah.
Like, that was hilarious.
Well, this is the thing. Like, the interesting images that the movie leaves you with have nothing to do with what the film is actually saying. And that's, like, my biggest problem with the filmmaking. For reasons like that, though.
Yeah.
Like the whole, like, if the point is trying to say, like their relationship is a performance, we get that through the singing. We don't exactly get that through the sex. You know,
right?
That's the difference. It's like, well, there's a lot of dissonance there because emotionally you're in two different camps and you're from totally different ends of the cinematic spectrum here. So what the hell?
Yeah, I always show a little bit of reservation when people say, "Oh, the bad lyrics are the point."
but they're really bad. Yeah. They're not just bad, they're horseshit.
Let's talk about the actual music. Okay, so Sparks is the name of the group that that wrote the music to this song. They also conceived of the story. They have screenwriting credit. Actually, they are the only two screenwriters credited in this. Ron Mayall and Russell Mayall, the Sparks brothers. There was a documentary about them earlier this year directed by Edgar Wright. I have not gotten a chance to see it yet because I had to watch 5 Harry Potter movies this week. But I wish I saw it for a little bit of context because I'm just frankly not familiar with their songbook. However, the point of the Edgar Wright documentary is to say that they had a lot of influence whether most pop acts knew it or not. And they sort of helped bridge the gap between the sort of 80s hair metal wave to the like 90s pop wave.
Yes. When I was describing it to Nico on the other podcast, I described it as like another Jodorowsky's Dune.
Yes.
That's kind of the point of
that documentary, yeah. Of the Sparks Brothers documentary.
Exactly.
Okay.
But so they write the music here. I almost wish going into it, I like listened to a couple Sparks Brothers albums. Or just Sparks albums. They're not the Sparks Brothers, just Sparks. I wish I like sort of understood the rhythm and like the simplicity of their lyric writing. And, you know, I just kind of wish I got into that flow because you watch this thing. And I know that musical numbers in movies tend to be a bit on the nose, but this was taking it to a whole new level.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
You know, what'd you think of the music, Nick?
No, it's awful.
Yes, it's awful. Yeah, it's really bad.
It's really bad music. Yes. And it is never ending.
Yes.
The movie does
yes.
not give you a fucking break.
No.
It beats you over the head with bad lyrics.
But that's the other thing. Like, you have these horrible lyrics contrasted with often really dark scenes.
Yeah.
Like the scene where he actually kills Simon Helberg.
Right.
Which is if I were to turn the audio off, the scene would work on me, actually. But it's contrasted with Adam Driver saying, like, what the fuck was he saying? It was so bad, man.
Mm.
I mean, my God, this music just drags every scene down. It's unfortunate because it's a musical.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yeah. It should be. Exactly.
It should work.
It should be helping the momentum, but it actually is slowing it down. I do. Okay. If I may compliment the movie, I like the opening scene. I like that song. The song is kind of a bit of an earworm. May we start.
I thought that at first, but then they kept going.
Yeah, I mean, know? That's
kind of the issue.
I kind of like them like walking through the street, the wonder of, you know, the entire cast like introducing the show that they're about to star in. I dug that idea, and I had higher hopes, I think, after that sequence. It was all downhill from there.
Did you guys stay through the credits for the yes. thank you song at the end?
Yeah, I did not see it. No.
Yeah. It's not really, you didn't miss much.
It's a wraparound. The entire cast is walking through the woods again and
holding like fucking balloons or something.
Or lamps or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was one of the worst endings I've seen in a long time, and just how nothing, we're done. It's just like, really? That's how you're going to end? That's worse than fucking Ruffin's Fear X. Jesus Christ, I didn't think you could make a worse ending.
Okay, Nick, let's get into the plot. Let's do it.
Oh, no.
Sure. I actually described the plot to Michaela and her mother as well.
Always a fun game if you, like, you know, listen along to this pod and watch some of the movies that we talk about, like, afterwards, explain the plot to someone in your life and see how they react.
Yeah.
A good time.
This movie was especially. So Adam Driver is Henry McHenry, a stand-up comedian at the top of his career. And Anne, what was the actress's name?
Marion Cotillard.
Cotillard, yeah. I know I can't pronounce that. That's why I kind of...
Marion. Talia al Ghul, right?
Yeah, that's true.
She plays Anne, who is at the top of her... Is it opera or musical theater?
That
I guess
opera.
Opera, yeah, right? She's basically the star of opera in the city. Do we know what city? LA, right? He goes to LA prison.
That's true.
I guess, yeah, it is
so LA. It must be Los Angeles.
For some reason, I thought it was New York in the beginning, but...
Yeah, but that mansion is definitely an LA mansion.
That's true, yeah.
Basically, both of them at the top of their career, and they are in a new relationship, and The movie throughout kind of cuts into these scenes of like entertainment news talking about, like, the tabloids talking about their relationship.
Yes.
To let us, the audience, know the state of their relationship, because otherwise we would never know.
Yes.
Because the movie's not going to show us.
Another thing that I hate when movies do it is they put Entertainment Tonight or extra sequences or, you know, what, Access Hollywood, whatever the show is. It never looks like a show that would actually be broadcast. Right. Because this, again, that's a separate skill.
This whole thing is tell, don't show.
Yes.
Yes.
It really is. Actually, I think this is why this movie is so easy for me to describe what happens, because they tell you exactly what happens.
That's true. That's true.
They're in the relationship. They get married, have a baby. This is all within the first 15 minutes, basically.
The baby's name is Annette.
The baby's name is Annette.
And even the name is just so goddamn on the nose.
It's a puppet. Like, it's a wooden fucking puppet.
Mary Annette?
Yeah.
And it's a puppet baby. Literally a wooden puppet baby, like Pinocchio.
Yes.
After having his baby, Henry McHenry's comedy career basically seems to be going down the tank. And we are warned via a Me Too sequence that Henry McHenry is not the man we think he is, that he has a dark side.
It's a dream.
It's a dream, right?
Yeah, but like,
I wasn't sure if it really happened. It was kind of unclear.
But Marion Cotillard definitely suspects that her husband has this dark side. And so she's afraid of him. That's like the point of that sequence.
Right. Yeah. And so in an effort to, I guess, save their marriage, they go on they take their yacht out in the middle of a hurricane.
For some reason.
That's a pretty easy way to save a marriage. It's like Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I mean, if you want to call that saving a marriage.
This is like some Moby Dick shit, like the waves and the storm. It's crazy.
I was thinking more like Leo and Margot Robbie in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, that's true.
Get the fucking loot!
Not going to die sober.
And in a sort of drunken sort of rampage, I guess, he kills his wife, which I would call it manslaughter. His fault.
No, I think it was accidental. She fell back. He didn't kill her.
But that's why it's manslaughter.
Or did he? Well, he did actually.
Here's the thing. It's his fault is the bottom line.
He dragged her out in the middle of a hurricane and insisted on waltzing on a very precarious deck.
Right.
With like
in the rain, the ship is like tipping at 45 degrees.
He did let go of her at the wrong moment. He wasn't very good at waltzing. And
no, it's his fault. And the movie tries to make this clear. It is his fault.
Yes.
It was not his intention, though.
It was not his intention. However, previously, he did do a stand-up comedy bit all about killing his wife.
That is true.
Which is something comedians normally do on stage.
I know.
This is some O.J. Simpson shit. If I did it.
If I did it, yeah.
But yeah, so there also is, I know this isn't exactly the plot here, but there's constant mention of like, how did your show go? And he goes, I killed it. I murdered them.
Right, there's a lot of you.
Like, but you know, it goes back to this, you know, in Hollywood or whatever, you say like, oh, I killed it for a comedy show. Meanwhile, for her, she's constantly dying in her shows. That's her thing. It's this whole thing.
Well, it is this sort of like masculine, feminine double standard in show business of like, you know, men, they speak with this very like violent language of like, I crushed it. I killed those guys. I like raped their ear holes.
Well, that's the level he goes to almost.
Right. Where women are almost, you know, they're the always victims. The damsels in distress. Yeah. They are, you know, they sort of die to service plot or to, you know, it's a victim complex. And
well, and yeah, the people sort of at the end sort of treat her like a martyr. They say, who will die for us now?
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, the movie takes it very literally and takes it to an extreme.
Right. And literally he tells her, how did your show go? And he goes, I murdered them. That's what he says. Like,
yes.
Okay.
I hate what this movie's doing, because what you just said is obviously a very classic and great idea, but I don't care anymore.
Right.
When a movie does it now, it's like, I know movie.
Been there, done that.
Been there, done that literally a million times before.
Yeah.
Right. So yes, he kills his wife. Basically, he says he's going to take care of Annette by himself, and he discovers that
there's another comic sequence where they're like on the boat, they're on the little like life boat, and
oh man,
paddling.
That is funny.
Yeah, he's paddling away with the baby. Yes. And he discovers that his baby, his puppet baby, has magic powers and can sing beautifully in the moonlight or something.
Yeah, the spirit of her mother kind of flows through her.
Yeah,
right. And I guess the idea is that like it's supposed to be literally when the lights are on her.
Yes.
So it
starlight.
Was
in, yeah.
Well, it was in the moonlight, and then it was like with the lamp.
But the
which
lamp
had, like,
had a star
moons
design.
And stars.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, yeah. She can sing, and he decides to reach out to the old accompanist for his late wife, who is now a conductor, as he tells us in a very riveting music scene.
That is true.
When he's like breaking down, sobbing, and then
I kind of like that scene. I kind of liked it. I liked how every time the camera was going in a circle around him the whole time, and I like how every time it was just about to turn to his back, he goes, "Excuse me," and then he starts conducting, and then it goes back to the front, and he starts talking. I kind of liked
it. It's kind of sad. I liked it. Yeah,
I kind of liked it.
What's that actor's name?
Simon Helberg.
Like, it felt incredibly fucking stupid, but I was into it.
It's in line with the rest of the movie, but it's one of those few instances
where it works.
It makes sense to me. It's like, I see what they were going for. And it's helpful because you see a scene like that and you're able to apply that sensibility to other scenes in the movie where it's like, if I didn't have that, I might feel totally out of place with another scene where I'm just going like, what the fuck is this?
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
So there's that. And there's a few scenes like that in this movie that are helpful for getting me with it there, which is why I didn't hate the movie. But yeah, I still come out that it's kind of misjudged and crap.
So Henry McHenry's plan. I love the name. It's so dumb.
Henry McHenry's great.
I feel like he should have had an evil fucking mustache, too, just to really sell the
Mick.
Just jerk off motion, dude. Henry, total jerk off motion.
Henry McHenry. He decides to take his baby on a world tour to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you didn't already get the point that this is child exploitation, let's take it to the extreme.
It's literally a puppet.
Yes.
Right. She's a puppet. She's a literal puppet.
Right.
Until she's not a puppet.
She's being used as a puppet by her parents because she is a puppet.
But she becomes a real girl, Nico.
God, I hate this puppet. God, I hate this puppet.
Well, and then
fuck that puppet.
The conductor goes with him and starts doing this, and he basically starts taking care of Annette a little bit more than Henry does. Henry goes out to the strip clubs and whatever. Mm. And they show these scenes of the conductor like teaching her how to play piano and stuff. Now, if they really wanted to make this movie like a little more tragic, they should have had Annette turn into a real girl while she was learning piano from the conductor. And then turn back. Like, they should have made more efforts to, like, make clear this isn't literally a fucking puppet.
Right.
But I think they wanted it to be a big reveal at the end.
Yeah, you want that reveal, sure.
But it wasn't satisfying at the end.
No. Well, I saw it coming. Right. I knew exactly where it was going.
So,
when it did that.
I don't know.
It's like, I was literally saying, when is it going to turn into a real girl?
I think the movie could have been a little more tragic had they played with that a little more.
That's her actual father. Because they're
because
he
that,
is the actual
it,
father.
Well,
right?
It comes to
Simon
be revealed that
yeah.
It comes to be revealed that the conductor had a fling with Anne just before Henry McHenry popped into the scene, and he believes that the baby may be his. And we're kind of led to believe that that's probably the case.
But do you care? I mean,
I don't. It doesn't matter.
Who, at all.
It doesn't matter.
Well, that's the thing. Like, and then you get to the scenes where he's interacting with the fucking puppet. I'm just like laughing. It's just not, it's like, this is supposed to be a really gut wrenching moment as he's talking to his kid and he wants to say, "You're my daughter," but he can't do it.
Yeah.
And I just don't give a shit. I just really, really don't care.
I think they could have made the movie a lot more tragic if they wanted to go that way, but.
Well, for what they're going for, which they are going for something tragic, I just don't think this approach really works. It's too surface level. It's too silly.
There's almost too much metaphor.
Yeah. Yes. But to dig that deeply, which they're really trying to do by the end of the movie, you can't have the movie be so superficial. You can't do that. I'm sorry. So
the correct word here is silly. I mean, it's just everything is fucking silly. It's like. And you're right. That is the problem. Both of these actors are great actors. Marion Cotillard and Adam Driver. Adam Driver, in my opinion, is
just frankly the most interesting actor working today.
I think he's last decade's actor.
And it's still like I will see every movie he makes and without hesitation. To watch them buy in so hard on something so fucking stupid, it's like it's 1 degree removed from Bradley Cooper holding the fake baby in American Sniper, where, you know, it just looks ridiculous. It's just none of this is moving at all.
Yes.
And I don't care how good the puppetry is in this. I don't care how good, the movements are, how realistic that thing looks, even though it doesn't look realistic.
That's the thing.
Like, it's just, it's always going to be fucking Adam Driver, a towering man snuggling with a puppet, and it's just never going to work.
No.
But that's the thing. This is filled with choices that are distinct and ambitious, but that from the get-go are ill-advised and doomed to fail.
Well, it goes back to things I say all the time. I love plenty of ideas here.
Yeah.
There's lots of great ideas. I don't think the story has nothing to offer, particularly with the many complications with celebrity and how that changes over time, depending on if you have a kid and what you want to do with that kid, what you want to do with your past relationships. All fine ideas, but God, the execution is not there. Mm. And that's all it comes down to, man. You're right. The silliness is a big problem for a story like this. I don't know. It just doesn't. It doesn't land. It doesn't move. Yep. So
agree.
So he takes her on a world tour, and then when he discovers that he may not be the real father, he kills the real father. He drowns him in the pool.
Yes.
In a very, not dramatic way. It's like a pool, and he's like, if you push me in that cold pool, I'll die instantaneously. that's basically the tone of that scene.
I'm like Bruce Willis from Unbreakable. Just don't push me in that pool.
Whatever you do.
Super the pool cold is lava.
But this is...
Though our fucking mansions
like the
in
stakes
Malibu.
Stakes could not be lower, and they make them feel so... You know what I mean? It's a pool.
But this is like this is what I was saying earlier. I agree, the lyrics here are what kill the scene. Like, the singing and all the music just really tanks it for me. But I think the performances are awesome. I think Adam Driver, when the scene where
if
he's
Adam
trying
Driver
to,
was trying to drown me, I'd be terrified.
It seems like he was actually trying to drown
right.
Simon Helberg. It's actually kind of freaky. Every time they shut the fuck up and just perform physically, I'm cool with it. But every time they open their mouths, it's just, oh, there's the movie again. Not good. And also, it's kind of funny when he grabs Simon Helberg and he's like grabbing him by his crotch like it's a log or something, and he's going to chuck him into the woods.
Now, after killing him, Annette, who presumably saw the murder, which they don't explicitly say that she saw the murder, but like, then the scene kind of cuts to like a window in the distance, which is her room.
Right.
And she basically refuses to perform again to her father. And I guess he says, we're going to do one last performance and then you're done. And you never have to perform again. So they rent out like the mega dome, the Doug Dimmadome mega dome.
No, they don't rent out. They don't rent it out.
What?
Absolutely not.
It's a halftime show.
That is the Super Bowl halftime show.
Is it?
Or sorry, checks notes. The Hyper Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
As described in the film.
Wait, you don't know the Hyper Bowl?
This shit is wild. This is the most batshit crazy. Literally, like, there's a giant floating, like, upside down pyramid filled with lights, and they drone drop Baby Annette onto it. Literally, little drones fly in and drop this baby off.
Lady Gaga basically did that, right?
But this is a baby.
The image of this crowd going wild over a fucking baby, a puppet baby being delivered by drones.
This shit absolutely bananas bonkers.
I'm at a high already, and then she's not singing, and then the announcer's like, what the fuck is this bitch doing?
Yeah.
Just like, Jesus.
No, again,
Christ,
this crazy. What is Leo Carax's nationality? What country is he from?
I think he's French.
It doesn't say it as IMDb, but again, it's like you've never seen a football game or a halftime show. It's again, you just like this is like an alien, and I respect it. And apparently, like his previous work, yes, he is French. Apparently, his like other work, particularly Holy Motors, are beloved and like really great weird movies. But don't make movies about the real world if you don't live in it.
But he does live in
and
the
you
real
clearly
world.
Don't live in it.
But he does
the
live
the hyperbole.
He lives in the real world. He's a human being.
Fucking baby at the hyperbole.
The shit is nuts.
Yeah. I do love the guy. Like, what the fuck is this bitch doing? This
yeah, that, was
that guy was good.
Now, so she refuses to perform. She's standing there in the middle, and then she utters her first words. And you might be thinking, but she's been singing this whole time.
Right.
Literally, the world is going nuts over la 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 da da da. Right. No words, no the lyrics.
Tones that she's singing.
It's that musical motif that occurs. It's the.
This is like whale yeah. song. People are yeah. losing their minds
over whales.
She says her first words, "Daddy kills people," in front of the Hyper Bowl stadium.
You know, I can only hope that's my child's first words.
And. And, you know,
daddy kills.
We're
people.
So proud.
And then there is a montage of police questioning of Henry McHenry. And he is sentenced to prison because they say, "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth?" And he goes, "No, you'd kill me if I did."
Fuck this movie so hard. Fuck it so hard, dude.
About then, that scene, if I'm to compliment anything, that moment is horrible. The following sequence where he's sort of chasing after Marion Cotillard and not quite finding her, I actually like. And that's the only
yeah, one. I like yeah. the lady sneezing before the set.
Oh, that was great, too.
I liked her.
Yeah, yeah, that was yeah. funny. Yeah, that was good comedy. Yeah. But then we get to this ending.
Well, so yeah, then his wife comes back in the courtroom, not yeah. literally, because she's
has
fucking
been,
dead.
She has been haunting him, though, throughout
yes.
the movie as
they show
like,
her
a
the
demonic...
Ghost.
As a mermaid, I think. It looks like a zombie
no,
mermaid.
She's not
well,
a mermaid.
No, so what I, yeah, so.
She's not a mermaid?
No.
She looks like a mermaid.
She drowned.
Haven't you seen Harry Potter? It's not a mermaid, dude.
Shut up.
She drowned, and she comes back as one. Like a drowned spirit. Yes. Okay. Probably, I would say, like a wraith or a banshee, something. A that banshee. Kind of, that kind of motif.
Not a mermaid.
Nick, not a mermaid,
play,
no.
Do you play D&D, Nick?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm a level 4 barbarian artificer. God, I love doing that to him. No, but yeah, she comes back. Basically, she looks dead. She looks pale, almost drowned. Like they make her lips like bluer, hair's wet, and she's covered in like seaweed and shit. So. Mm. And I don't know. It's cool, I guess. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then we cut to him in jail, and baby Annette visits him in jail.
And this is, my opinion, the worst scene in the movie.
Well, because yeah, this is the scene where they, like,
a lot of them too.
Yeah.
They really just spell out, like, oh, this is the point.
Yeah, right. It's just nothing conceivably works here. It's, like, it's honestly one of my least favorite endings I've seen in a while.
She
I can't stand this ending.
To sum it up, she basically says... Well, she comes out, she's a puppet, and then, I don't know, then he turns, and then there's a real girl there, that looks just like the puppet, and the puppet's still there,
yeah.
And then she walks up, and then they cut back to him, and then the puppet's gone, and she's sitting in its place. I really would have liked here, again, just towards what the movie was trying to do, show her taking the puppet and throwing it on the ground and sitting down, like, show her ripping off the fucking puppet oppression that she's living under and saying I'm a real like actually try just fucking do something
say the words I'm a real girl
yeah. They might as well
that's basically what happened.
I mean, showing her next to the puppet and then showing the puppet on the ground afterwards, like, it's just dumb. It's just, I don't know.
Well, this is what movie. I keep wondering about the movies, that would this have worked better as a like literal theatrical experience? There's a lot of me
it's
that
possible
kept,
yeah
there's a lot of me that thought it would be like as a good piece of like just like expressionism, you know, just where everything is very over the top, but that's the point of this live event you're seeing. Because I could imagine seeing a lot of these set pieces and being quite like moved by them.
No, seeing just it on like, stage would have been actually probably incredible.
Yeah, there's like a lot of like amazing like technical achievement by like a theatrical perspective that I would have really loved, but I don't know, on film where the range is so much greater and you have so much more to work with and it exists in the smaller moments so much more deeply. Yeah, it was just totally out of place for me.
Would you have liked this movie better if there were people in all black morph suits moving the set around in the background and stuff like that?
I
think maybe.
That's a good point. Maybe.
Just keep that veneer going the whole way.
Yeah, well,
Because they're half in it. That's the thing. Right. It's like film is, you know, you're not playing to the back, right. Obviously. You're talking to someone right here. And this movie's commitment is it's both playing to the back the entire way, but at the same time, we're right up close with these characters. And it's like, shut up. Mm-hmm. You can be quiet for a change. Yeah, I think you're exactly right there, Nick.
Yeah. Again, the lyrics are awful, and I don't think there's any fixing that. That's true, yeah. But, you know, as a theatrical experience, I think you're right. It could have been a little bit better.
Put it this way, I would have got it.
Yeah.
I certainly would have understood it much better. But,
basically, Annette says to him, you're safe here now. You can't drink anymore. You can't smoke anymore. And you can't kill people anymore. And she goes, but there's nothing for you to love anymore either. Yeah. And he goes, well, can't I love you? And she goes, no, not really. You're in prison. I'm a little girl. So no, you can't.
I need hugs.
And again, that's a great idea. That's a really heartbreaking moment. I would have loved that in a different movie. I would have loved that in, I don't know, like a Charlie Kaufman film or something like that.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Yeah. I was thinking about Anomalisa as I was watching this, because that's another movie with puppets in it.
I was thinking a little bit about, I'm thinking of anything sometimes.
Fine line though between Kaufman and this.
Like, I thought so too.
There's a fine line, and of course, Kaufman movies. I adore Kaufman movies. They are among my favorite movies ever made. But like, yeah, you have to rein it in a little bit, you know. And you also have to construct a world, and that is the challenge of all Kaufman movies: is that you have to construct a world where these events can happen plausibly, and it makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the world of Anomalisa is a world where everybody on screen except for two people are voiced by the same guy. You've got to buy that.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. Here, there is just so much inauthenticity.
Yeah.
And that's really the difference, right? Like, Kaufman is a humanist screenwriter. He understands the human condition and wants to explore it. Whereas this wants to explore a lot of ideas from a distance. And in my opinion, doesn't do a lot of the work in terms of just getting the little stuff right. None of the little stuff was right. Just the big stuff here, you know?
Yeah, okay. Because I was going to say, there's a lot of, like, Synecdoche, New York in this movie sometimes.
Definitely. The regret at the end? Yeah. The life passing by. Tremendous amount of it,
100%. Yeah. Okay.
It's funny that we thought about the same guy. Yes. But think about that.
Yeah.
How bad does this movie have to be?
It doesn't
for me
have
to be the biggest Kaufman fan in the world and then, you know.
See something that.
Just a couple notes are wrong and it throws the whole thing off.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the weird clusterfuck. If this movie sounds crazy, I mean, it is.
It is.
I you know, part of me wants to like how crazy it is, like you've said.
Me too. I was wanting to like it.
I want to like this movie.
Well, there's times where I like the craziness, sort of. I mean, when the movie's letting you appreciate it from more of a distance, when you can accept the eccentricities and the hyper-expressive attitude of this movie, it's not devoid of that, in my opinion. But yes, I agree. Most of it, no. Most of it is just not getting there.
I got to see Holy Motors.
Yeah.
I got to see what that's about.
Yeah.
Maybe it would work in a non-musical context. Yeah. I don't know. Everything was wrong. I'm very sorry for Adam Driver, who is just shouldering the burden of this movie throughout.
Well, here's the thing that I'm really kind of into about Adam Driver is I feel like he's just taking every sort of genre and, like, different take on film, and he's really just putting himself out there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what you're supposed to do after a Star Wars movie, though.
Yeah,
it's well, he's doing it well. Cash the check, right? I'm just gonna work with Baumbach, or I'm gonna work with Scorsese, or I'm gonna, like, that's what you're supposed to do after you get the Kylo Ren check.
I'm sure.
I don't feel like I've ever seen
be.
The same role twice from him. I mean, it's.
I mean, think about all the guys he's worked with, like a ton of like high profile. Filmmakers.
He's working with Ridley Scott coming up. So.
Twice with Ridley Scott. He's got two Ridley Scott movies coming within two months of each other.
Yeah.
Dude, it's the fall of Scott, baby.
I get
Ridley's back.
What does that mean, the fall of Scott?
Take it as you will. I'm like really pumped for both of those movies.
I am more excited for Gucci.
Obviously.
Yeah, but
come on.
It's weird for us when we're excited for a movie, though, because I don't know what that means. Like, am I excited because it's going to be good or bad?
Dude,
I don't know.
Dude, that trailer was just, come on.
They were great.
Yeah. It's a movie, right?
Father,
it's
son.
Movie.
Father, son, and House of Gucci.
Yes.
Dude, Gaga is just like doing a Super Mario Brother accent. Like, it is the most Italian shit.
Oh man.
And who Leto, baby. Oh good.
Oh my god, Leto. What the hell was that? Nick,
do yourself a favor. Take 2 minutes out of your day, watch the House of Gucci trailer.
And good luck finding Jared Leto in that trailer.
Play Where's Jared Leto?
Where is Jared Leto? That's a great game.
By the way, Jared Leto, easily the worst part of Blade Runner.
I disagree entirely, and I think your opinion will change over time. I think he's actually a very good villain. But I think it's partially our history with Jared Leto.
No, I think I kind of think like he was unnecessary. They could have put anyone in that role and they probably would have done just as fine, if not better.
I don't think there's anyone who plays a better God complex than Jared Leto.
Accurate.
So, no, I'm fine with Jared Leto in that movie, accurate. Actually.
Okay, there's our first installment in, what are we calling it, September 11?
Yeah. I mean, do you guys have any other notes?
What?
Do you have any other notes or thoughts? I have a couple minor ones.
Go ahead. Throw them out. Then we
mostly still about Henry McHenry.
Okay.
What's up with the scar on his face?
Don't know. What's wrong with your face?
He has this scar. And
first.
He has this weird like purple mark that like keeps getting bigger throughout the movie.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure the first time he kills somebody, he gets like one big line. And the second time he gets a second one.
Yeah.
And that's it. I don't get it.
Something bad. It's like his scarlet letter or something. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
That's what it is. Also, I don't know if we ever really got into the fuck that Adam Driver. The fact that Adam Driver was out there looking like a fucking goblin with his green bathrobes, like punching the air and like eating a banana.
Yeah, the boxing sequence. He's the ape of God, man.
He's the ape of God. He does his stand-up comedy in like boat slippers and a bathrobe.
Let me ask you a question. Did this movie make you rethink your fandom of Bo Burnham?
No.
No. Okay.
Should it?
I don't know. The sort of like self-obsessed musical, like tragic comedy is very.
Well, I don't think his comedy was musical. I think the movie was musical.
Yeah.
I think it was a musical representation of bad comedy.
Well, that's how I felt about the Bo Burnham's recent special, which I enjoyed, but I was like,
made me like it less. To be honest,
haven't watched it.
Yeah, I was like, Bo, calm down.
It's really self obsessed. Yeah, like, it's really like
every time he has like a freak out, I'm like, shut up, stop being a baby.
Right.
Basically, was my entire reaction.
Yeah, talk about jerk off motion. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't care, dude. Yeah. We don't care.
Made me rethink it. To be honest with you, I had to knock Inside a full half star down. Because of this movie.
I want John Waters' take on something like Inside.
I don't want John Waters' take on anything ever again. I think I'm done with him.
I am low-key a big John Waters fan.
I'm not very low-key at all.
I wasn't at first, guys, but now I think
fuck
I kind of love
guy.
It. When he talked about
fuck that guy.
When he talked about people saying they were going to leave the country when Trump was president, his reaction to that is just warms my heart. Really does. The way he described those people was just so funny to me. Oh, it was the best.
What else you got?
Fuck that guy. No, that was it. Those are my notes.
Yeah, just Henry McHenry.
Henry McHenry.
Tells you all you need to know.
We've said that name way too many times in this podcast.
He needs to be the next character in Super Smash. Just Henry McHenry.
Confirmed Henry McHenry for Smash.
The ape of God.
No. I mean, according to Dunkey, the next Smash character is going to be Kanye West, which is really what they should do.
I buy it.
Okay, we got to get going, but let's play a game right now. Mm-hmm. How many? I guess we do Driver, right?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do it. Adam, Driver. Kylo Ren.
Drew Carey's worth $180 million.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're going with.
Yes. Adam Driver, who a mere 8 years ago was just the guy from Girls. And now he's like...
He's Adam Driver.
He's the guy.
He's the guy, right? He's got the belt.
It's crazy. He doesn't. He's not just like the guy who can hold a gun. He's like everything.
He's everything.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Dude, think about how many, like, he's worked with Spike Lee. He's worked with the Coens. He's worked with Scorsese. He's worked with Noah Baumbach. He's
everyone loves him.
He's worked with Jim Jarmusch.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Wow.
You know?
And of course, J.J. Abrams.
Worked with J.J. Abrams.
Don't forget.
He's worked like, with Soderbergh.
Yeah. Yeah.
He also manages to not look like an actor should look, not look like a handsome man should look, but yet somehow be both.
He's worked with Spielberg, Lincoln. He's in Lincoln.
Yeah, that's true.
He's in Lincoln.
Worked with Clint.
Did we say the Coen brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna say 50 million. I'm gonna say that Disney pays well these days.
I was going 40 million. So
that's yeah. all.
I'm sticking to that 40 million. Yeah,
that's sorry. All. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, he's not that old.
I'll go high on this though. I'll give him. I'll give you guys some room. I'll say 1-to-1. I'll give you guys. I'll give you some room. I'll give you some room.
No,
I'm going a little higher than I need to, but I also don't want to like cut you off.
I would say much higher than you need to because the actual net worth of Adam Driver is $16 million.
Ooh, wow, low.
Hey, man.
The Adams.
Sometimes money isn't everything.
You know, I do feel like
that's.
I do feel like when they picked the actors for the new Star Wars movies, they were like on a budget.
Oh, you should hear the behind the scenes with David Fincher arguing with Kathleen Kennedy about Adam Driver. Boy, is that a funny text conversation.
Why? What was
it? He let it slip somehow. They were just having a conversation about The Force Awakens. And then David Fincher, I think she brings up Adam Driver in a way that wasn't very specific. And then Fincher was like, Adam Driver is a terrible choice. And she's like, what? No, he's like, he's the guy. We love him. And Fincher's like, what? What are you talking about?
Well, she is known for horrendous decision making.
That is true. He needs to work with Fincher now, it sounds like.
He does.
It sounds like Driver needs to, yeah.
I have a
Gone Girl sequel.
Well, I have a feeling by now Fincher's sort of retracted
I'm sure he's come around.
That opinion.
I think so. Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's actually very good.
Yeah, I mean, that guy. Marriage Story, man. That's all. Ugh. That's all I have to say. Yeah.
Such a hard movie to watch, but so worth watching.
That's all I have to Very say about movie. That. Okay, that's it. Adam and I got to go. We actually have an afternoon together. We're spending more time together today.
And what are you guys watching? A movie?
No, we're just doing things.
Going to a porn cinema. I'm gonna watch some films together.
Yeah, just a little,
you know,
performative arts.
You know, gonna reenact.
Which one's Zach and which one's Miri?
Oh God. Oh, good question. Well, who looks more like Seth Rogen?
That's a good Rogen.
I thought that was bad.
No, it wasn't so bad.
It's not bad. It's pretty good. All right. I love you. Come back next week. We'll do another musical. I think Repo, the Genetic Opera. Is that what we're doing next week?
Sure.
All right. Coming next week, Repo, the Genetic Opera.
Oh, man. You guys are going to hate. I mean, Adam already hates this. Nico, you're going to hate this.
All right. Well, we'll see. See you guys next week. Until then, you all have been so very, very naughty.